Oh no.
Yeah, so I'm already seeing people asking for the soundtrack,
There you go. It's
Patrick.
always a good sign. All right, I think we're live on a different link.
Oh
I just
yeah.
copied it into the chat. Apparently, trying to pause the original one ended the stream, so we're up and going somewhere else. Here, let me drop it in the chat here so you guys can kind of share it.
Yeah, I'm gonna share it in the do, 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 do.
All right, where are we?
I'm gonna pin this. All right. See?
Excellent. Well, gentlemen, congratulations. A year's worth of work into play.
Yeah, sorry, I'm just still having trouble with the link. Now I posted the wrong one. Okay.
Yeah, I'm working on the technical side too. Let me see. I think we're up and running.
Yeah, just generated a new link for me. That's why I do that. Yeah. There we
Yeah,
go.
that was the wrong one.
Yeah, but
Did you post this?
the old one had a Travis made a post in the comments to get people to join here.
There we go.
Yeah. So what can I say? I mean,
It looked good, guys. Got some good stompy action in there.
yeah. This time we wanted to dial up the action a little bit.
Yeah, we
What,
said. Go ahead.
nice poster, by the way, Bernard.
Oh yeah. Best one.
Yeah, because you made it. No, I mean, we had some people asking for the soundtrack. I think Patrick already made it available on pretty much every major streaming platform, Amazon, Spotify, iTunes. You have it. So people can
Perfect.
listen
We'll
to it
get that.
there.
You guys wanna? We'll drop that link and probably just drop it in the comments of the video, and people can pick up the soundtrack. Just give the guys some time to get that in there.
Yeah.
Give it a day or two.
I even
And
found it on YouTube already.
all right.
Because YouTube is apparently doing that automatically once it's on several platforms.
Interesting.
So, did you like it, Travis?
I did. I admit I only got sections because I'm trying to figure out this live stream. So I'm gonna have to listen to it quietly while you guys answer some questions.
Yeah.
I saw a tank having a bad day. I saw a thunderbolt who doesn't know how to turn around.
Exactly.
That's good stuff. But yeah, let's for those in the comments, start shooting some questions to the guys. I kind of, before we do, let's, get a quick introduction and just some credits for who's on the team, rather than kind of awkwardly bouncing between people. Constantine, why don't I let you kind of, introduce who everybody is and kind of can go, clockwise with this.
Yeah, so I'll start with most right on my screen, Chris. Chris is one of our new additions. He joined us after last episode. He's a background in professional sound engineering and took a major load off my shoulders with this one for all the sound design and all the mastering and all the mixing and stuff. Chris, I'll let you introduce yourself.
Yeah, it sums it up pretty nicely. Yeah. I just wanted to be part of it because it's so freaking awesome, obviously. And yeah, it was like a dream come true. Sounds, may sound a bit overdramatic, but it really is. And it means a lot to me. And I'm glad that I could join and help Constantine and the guys. I was actually just asking to help them, not to make it better. That was my only intent, to just shorten the intervals between the episodes. That was my only intent.
Yeah, well,
but hey, it was fun all along the way, and yeah, here we are now.
Yeah, I mean, you didn't manage to shorten the interval, but that's because of other reasons. So yeah, next up is Bernhard. Bernhard, long time member of the team, pretty much held up the flag for this project while I was going through some job changes in the summer. So super important project, wouldn't be here without him. Bernhard.
Wow. I'm flattered. I don't know what more to say.
And if you guys
like
are
the 3D generalist here doing animations and a bit of everything.
Yeah, and for those that haven't seen the earlier streams with Bernhard here, he's also done some remakes of the old some MechWarrior 2 trailers. Bernhard, what's your YouTube channel? So if people want to swing over, they can they can view some of your other work before you found the Hired Steel guys here.
My channel is called Raoul. That's Raoul. I haven't posted much there since I did the Mercs intro. But yeah, maybe someday I will have some more time to do personal projects again, which I would like to, but I'm also passionately working on Hired Steel. So
this is a personal project. So.
Yeah. It's a little bit more or bigger than personal. It's a team effort, Hired Steel.
It's true, man.
Yeah.
Well, the community appreciates it. I'll drop that in the live chat here. Let's go that link down. So if people want to see Bernhard's other work on that, that's a link to the MechWarrior 2 Mercenaries trailer. One of the good ones, old school. All right, so we've got Sasha, you're up.
Yeah, no, I didn't forget him. I was just reading that the comments are so coming in so quickly. Trouble following them, but yeah. Sasha, actually on the stream, probably one of definitely the oldest member of TMC. I mean, we founded TMC in 2013, back when we were still making unit promotion videos for our MechWarrior Online units, back when everybody was still playing that game. So yeah, Charlie, go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks for the flowers. Thanks also for mentioning our past or history. In April this year, we will have 10th year anniversary.
Oh, really?
TMC. Yep, we'll be 10 years old. I think we need to prepare something for the community to celebrate our birthday, we could say our anniversary. And all congratulations to the production crew, the production staff, Constantine, Bernhard, and the rest. Without your perfectionism, your endurance, your will for perfection, and so on, we wouldn't stand here and would celebrate the release of starts the episode 3. I'm so happy that we could produce the episodes, put those loosely idea I had for this, for episode 3 into motion, into perfect pictures, in beautiful, awesome shots. And to see that the audience is hyped, stoked, and celebrating this episode and wishing for more, I'm super happy for it. And I'm currently also working for the follow-up with, sadly, we don't, I think we can say something about that later on. But yep, I'm super happy that Howard Steele is still coming and going to continue for future. So I give word forward to Travis or maybe Constantine, don't know who wants to follow up next, but I'm finished.
Yeah, I mean, I can quickly say some stuff about myself. I'm just writing up all of these social media posts. Maybe I should have done that beforehand. Yeah, so I'm Constantine. I'm also one of the guys back from the days when TMC was still making gameplay videos. And Hardsteel kind of started as a fun project for myself. I had to occupy myself during the corona lockdowns in Germany where I couldn't work. And I mean, it was nice for a week or two and then it got really boring and I just started tinkering around with Max and stuff. So this whole project evolved from that crazy idea. So forgive us if there are any, how do you call it, film errors that have changed over the episodes where like stuff changed in positions. Like we never intended this to be such a giant project in the first place. Obviously now we do, but yeah, so that's kind of where it all started. So maybe you guys can talk for like 2 minutes while I finish all of these posts while the link's still hot. So maybe give it back to like Bernard, Chris, Travis.
And do we have a new link? Because Patrick wanted to join back.
Yeah, let me drop it in the community chat here. And then people can share it with whoever. Didn't get the updated link. Let's see, where are we? Yeah, thanks guys for finding the new stream. As you can tell from my channel, I don't do too many live things. And so trying to get that all figured out. But there you go. I just dropped it. Yeah, so who is not here? Like, who are some guys on the team that we can kind of give a little shout out to that aren't here? And kind of, I'd love to kind of, you know exactly what each individual's roles were in the project and kind of who contributed what.
So I can go through the list. So like Patrick dropped out from the stream. He's obviously our composer. Super cool. He just messaged us out of the blue after the pilot and was like, oh, I mean, I can make music for you guys. And then I was like, oh yeah. Like we had some interesting experiences with composers, but with him it's like, okay, this is the cut, can you make some nice music? And he's like, oh yeah, disappear for 6 weeks and then here's the final thing and it's awesome and there's nothing much to say. This time you also took care of the mocap. I mean, now that you're back at the stream, Patrick, maybe you want to say a few words about yourself. We did the introduction round just yet. I think your mic's muted.
There we go. Yep, we're not hearing you, Patrick.
Still not. So while he's figuring that out, I'm going to talk about the other guys. Andreas isn't with us today. He's also one of the longtime members of TMC. He wasn't involved that much in this episode because like he is more important stuff such as two kids and a house, but he still helped us out massively with rigs and walk cycles and all of that stuff. And most of his work has gone into the previous two episodes as well. Constantine, the other Constantine, actually, he also isn't on stream with us here today. He took care of the amazing storyboard, which we will get out to the patrons as soon as possible because that thing is basically like a full-fledged comic. You can see a few of the excerpts in the credits roll.
That'll be very cool.
obviously Tex, I mean, amazing voice actor, amazing supporter of all of what we do, and also script proofreader for this episode. He helped us a little bit with like making it more American and proper English, because I mean, most of us are German or Austrian, and while we speak English, we are not always 100% accurate with it. You may have heard some of the like, oh, Tex is talking like a Klenner in episode one, and that wasn't done on purpose. That was just a mistake on our part. Then Austin, modeling credit, like super cool modeling stuff. You can see some of his work in this episode, but you will see more of his work and most of his work in the coming episode. Can say that without saying too much. Then Christian or Karl Steiger from Steiger Design, he modeled the tank and the APC. So like modeling credit for him as well. And we actually have two new members who didn't work on episode 3, but since they joined a few weeks ago, are actively working on episode 4 already with us. That is Mark. He's an animator, like a professional animator, actually, with like several years of experience in Hollywood stuff. And then also Jan Henrik from Hamburg, who's an amazing texturing artist. And like I said, you will see most of their work in the coming episode. Yeah. And that's the team. I mean, we've grown quite a bit. And then there's lots of external people. Like if you want to see the full list, you just have to watch the credits again or go to the website. I think Patrick made a write up there with the credits in text form.
Yeah, it should all be updated now. Yeah. If you guys can hear me, yeah.
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. Hear. Good.
Welcome, Patrick. Thanks for the music. Wonderfully done.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun. Man, that episode's really awesome. Like it's kind of like at the height of action, it feels like, right? Like you were saying, I was just getting into mocap now. So I think we're probably planning for maybe more mocap in the future. Mm-hmm. But just an update on that. I have a friend that lives down the street from me because I was renting out a place. Now he's got kind of like a basketball court in his building that I can just go and use freely at any time. So I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Very cool. Well, if you guys want to start diving into some questions here, we can start and kind of work our way through the stream. So I think the big one everyone asked is, how many episodes do we have to expect in the storyline before we wrap up this particular mission with Equus?
You want to give that away?
Oh, is it a surprise?
Yeah. I mean,
at least X number of episodes.
I mean, I told Travis already in the pre-stream, like we are not going to stop soon. I think that's what we can say. So there will be more, and I mean, we can get into the technical stuff later. I mean, we are actually planning to post at least two videos now, like one behind the scenes thing, like making of, like bonus DVD content that you would get with a movie, like properly diving into what we did before we start the new one. And then like a little call for help, because we are actually embarking on trying to make this project a lot more efficient, trying to cut down the 12-month production time, trying to cut down on the painfulness in the workflows that might not be super efficient. So we are looking into moving a lot of the stuff, if not all of it, into Unreal Engine, actually, to ease up a little bit on the weeks and months of cumulative render time that we have with rendering these frames in a 3D rendering engine.
Excellent.
And automating other stuff as well. Like, I mean, Bernard, you can maybe say a few words about what we are planning with that.
Yeah, what I envision is to automate a lot of the VFX stuff, like weapon fire, particle systems, which spawn automatically on a hit, which a game engine is obviously made for. Or dust kicked up by mech feet. So all that can be automated in a game engine. And besides, Unreal Engine 5 is really looking awesome and you can get very good quality out of it. So that's what we are planning. And I've been trying out some stuff already to more on the technical side to make things work as we would like to, and to see if there are any major roadblocks which would prevent the switching to Unreal. But at the moment, it looks all fine, and it will need some time to set everything up and get to where we need it. But I think in the end, it will pay off a lot. No promise yet if we can reduce production time for the next episode, because last time we thought we could, but
yeah, we just made the episode longer and more work, so we ended up with 12 months again, but now the episode is a little bit better, so
there was so much more effect stuff, which is really time consuming, setting up all the particle systems, smoke, explosions. It was much more heavy on that side, and that takes a tremendous amount of work.
Well, skill, power, and money, those are the solutions to time for most industries. And so, you know, swing over to Patreon, guys, and, you know, throw some dollars to the team, TMCDE on Patreon, and maybe help these guys go, you know, get things a little faster. But I'll take quality over frequency any day of the week. And so I appreciate what you guys do. And
Quick organization question. Patrick, did you have to use a new link, or was it still the old Zoom link that you could use?
Still the old Zoom.
Okay, all right. Because I'm going to drop that into our Patreon Discord now, so if people want to join, they can join.
Oh, excellent. Cool. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, the Zoom link, Zoom call is the same. It's just the YouTube connection got refreshed. All right, let's dive into some questions here. Let's see. If you guys are listening, you want to throw some fresh questions, I'll start scrolling up here. Ooh, this is a good one. Is there an era or period in which the hive still takes place? What's the year?
I get that to Charlie.
Yeah, Harold Steele is playing in the year 3041.
Okay.
Right about, let's say, about approximately 10 years before the clan invasion starts on planet Iron Land, which is approximately in the center of Inner Sphere near the other system called Star's End. And and if any other questions comes up, why we chose this planet and so on, or those time, I can throw the ball back to Constantine, because mostly the wishes for the place, for the timeline, came, you could say, a bit from him, from discussion we had on the pilot, after the pilot, before, or you could say when the pilot was in the production. And we had to think about it. What should we do? Maybe a new revival of a web series like we did in the past with No Guts, No Galaxy. I don't know, Travis, do you remember one of our old projects called Davian Blues?
I don't recall that one, no.
Yeah, it was a bit similar approach, bit different, more something similar like Halo, Red vs. Blues, a bit like that comical.
It was recorded in game, so it was kind of a bit different.
Yes, it was completely different, and now we're going the CGI approach, and with real storytelling.
Many fond memories of Red versus Blue. I still have like the first six seasons DVD set around here somewhere. But
so got some more questions. You want to ask another one, Travis? Otherwise, I'm just going to grab someone from.
Yeah, I'm just scrolling through. If you catch something before I do, read it out and let's dive in. I see someone ask about my shirt. We got the this is the Bread for War cover art, Bread for War soundtrack by Timothy Seals, cover art by Jaden Morris. I will see if we can do shirts. I actually got this as a sample. The company was kind of selling, I think it was like $9 to get a t-shirt with whatever you want on it. But I am actually trying to get prints for this art so that people can buy some prints to put up in their office. So, but yeah, I love this art. Bread for War on the YouTube channel. There it is. Got the summoner. full homage of people who are fans of the original MechWarriors who cover art. There's certain little Easter eggs and stuff in the arts, but it is very, very accurate.
All right.
Stuff in the game.
But... So would you ever consider doing live action shots for Pilot's green screen? I mean, that would be awesome. I think we even discussed that once. But I have worked for 4 years in the advertisement / film industry. So I actually have a degree in that. So I know a little bit about like professional film sets and stuff, having worked on them for a few years. It's gonna be really, really hard to match, and I don't want to pat myself or the team on the shoulder, to match the quality of the animation with acting, because that's always the weak link. And even more important than acting is like the set design and stuff. Like, you don't want to have these guys sit in like a paper craft, paper mache plastic $500 studio. So, and then there's the problem that like of localization and just money. So this would be super important, super expensive, like, because you wouldn't be able to ask like real good actors that live in Germany to just like, oh yeah, you want to do this for free for us. So doing it in CG and moving on to the new tools that we have with the Unreal engine is just easier for us. So yeah, we would love to do that, but it's just with many things, it's just a money issue.
There was a good one that came through of what's an element of the production process that has gotten easier over time since the pilot, or yeah, I guess it was the pilot and then episode zero. How did you name it? Was it pilot 1, 2, 3? But what has gotten easier, more streamlined as you've gone through the process of making episodes?
Bernard, what do you think?
Yeah, I think the overall organizational stuff and workflow that we figured out, it's hard to pinpoint something. I mean, the like pre-production storyboard was a big improvement since Konstantin was doing that. That went really smooth. The animatic was then relatively easy to do with visual guidance already in place. I mean, animation was relatively quick. Yeah. I have to say I got a good workflow for that, although we had to tweak some shots and we redid the one animation completely, like last
falling
week
over. Yeah,
falling off the thunderbolt. Yeah. If we put it the other way, the most difficult things were getting particle systems to work, the scattering of the foliage, which made some headache in some shots. It appeared suddenly different than it was, or let's say for different layers, they didn't match. I would have an easier time to tell you what went not so smooth.
Exactly.
What improved.
Yeah. I can like, you guys have to look at it this way. Like, we probably improve our skills and our team internal performance by like 50% per episode, probably. Like, compared to episode one, where we still had pretty much no idea what we were doing. It's been a lot more streamlined and a lot more efficient and a lot more professional now. But at the same time, as the content and as the, like, we are moving from, okay, Max landing and then starting to walk, to like a full-fledged battle with like 8 different kinds of vehicles and rigs and people and motion capturing and facial stuff, we are, and then all the FX, like the explosions and smoke and that stuff, it makes the whole process so much more complicated that it gets complicated faster than we can keep up with skill. So that's why these episodes take so long. And that's why we have to solve. I mean, if you are a patron of us and you've been following the updates for the past 12 months, you can see like my sanity progressively dropping on the stuff that we've been doing the past months, because it was just like I have a notebook here with like just a fraction of the stuff that I've been doing over and over again. And as you can see, it's like list after list of shots and redoing shots and to-dos and like trying to figure out what I still have to do in that shot. Because when you see like a Mac getting shot, burning and falling over, you can probably guess that it's like between 6 or 7 or 8 different FX simulations just for this shot. And you have to render them all on their own layer, and then you have to combine them all in post, and you have to make sure they all work, and you're dealing with 800 gigabytes of data and render times of a night. So if you get up in the morning and you see, oh, I made an error there, I forgot to switch on one variable of these 500 variables, you basically can start all over again. And yeah, so like it's just now we reached a point where like the workflow is really our bottleneck. Like we have a great team now. We have so much skill amassed. We have this great community, and now we just have to really polish and modernize our workflows to get it more efficient.
Yeah, and there's a question actually by Sven, fellow creator, asking about the vehicles that, say, you recognize some of the vehicle designs, but there were some that you didn't recognize. And I think we talked to Christian in last Behind the Scenes about his work developing the vehicles. If I remember, Bernard maybe was involved with some of that as well. But, you know, you guys talk about kind of those unique designs that you guys have used in the episode.
Yeah, I mean, he's not here today, so I have to speak for him. When we design vehicles, and Max, by the way, we make sure that they fit into the lore. So they are possible. They are inspired by real vehicles. They have correct tonnage. We actually have like spreadsheets, like how do you call them? The stuff that you use for the actual tabletop game where you can cross off all the damage and stuff, like the stat cards.
The record sheets.
The record sheets, yeah, sorry. Mm-hmm. We actually have that done for every vehicle. So they work in the universe, but they are own creations. So they are inspired by, for example, the Manticore or the hovercrafts are inspired by other vehicles, but we actually make sure that the lore works on that.
Excellent.
Yeah, it's the spike tank with the PPC is a heavy tank in the range of, I think it's 60 tons, if I remember correctly, but yeah.
Yeah. From the pilot to episode 3, what would you say started out as the more difficult challenges that become? Also, that's what you already said. With the quote about the Atlas, will we see one down the line in the series? I mean, I won't tell you now, but we have included that line for a reason. Mech designs. Oh, that's something exactly. Yeah. Terrence, do you have one?
Now, what are some of you guys' favorite shots, you know, that stand out from this episode? Either, you know, favorite in terms of challenging that, a good challenge that you were able to overcome and, you know, appreciate seeing it kind of being fully realized in the episode, or just something visually that really kicks for you. We can work through, everybody can kind of toss out their favorites here. We'll start with you, Charlie.
I believe one of the most favorite shots within this episode for me would be the Shadowhawk skirmish maneuver. Mm. When he's trying to outmaneuver the Thunderbolt and jumping right in front of his face.
And miss punch.
Dusting up all the ground floor and leaving him in this dust cloud. He doesn't know what to do. And of course, the falling animation from the Thunderbolt. Nice. Since that's a really epic shot, and I'm so glad that Constantine, Bernard, and Co. retouched it the last week, and yeah, it's awesome. The whole sound effects from Chris and so on, it's beautiful. Also, Patrick, thank you for your soundtrack. It's everything together is just beautiful and awesome to watch, and yeah.
I mean, Bernard already said that this Thunderbolt falling shot we basically redid last week, last minute. because Mark came in and applied his professional feedback, was like, yeah, guys, we just have to do something about this shot. Then Bernard did a test animation, and then he sent us a 30-minute video feedback file. So lots of polish went into that one, but it got done in time. So yeah.
Excellent.
And I got a lot out of these 30 minutes of feedback. If you get that from an industry professional, you can learn a lot. And I think it paid off, because now looking back at the original animation, it looked lame and it didn't have the impact. And I'm happy that we invested the time to redo that. I think it looks much better now. And it's probably because of that, it's only also my favorite shot now.
I know that from a member of the chat that there was a few moments where people were like, there's so much VFX to render. And then I'm like, but those are the cool parts. And then I think that was my little bit of motivation to keep the guys going.
That's good. Chris, about you? Do you have a favorite to toss in there?
Oh, sorry. Was that at me?
That was Chris.
Okay. Sorry, I wasn't. Yeah, obviously the entire episode, no, but I really like, I don't know why, the second PPC shot from the tank. I don't know why. I've seen this scene like a billion times from pre-production to the final version. And when I first saw the final version with all the effects layers and whatnot, it just hit me. I don't know. It's just so three-dimensional and full of energy. I don't know. It's my favorite scene.
I mean, I got to shout out
literally full of energy.
Yeah, exactly. Sorry, yeah, exactly. like the FX are powered a lot by this amazing new software, Embergen. Mm-hmm. I mean, these guys are gonna make a little social media tweet about us as well, because I've been actually working together with the developers a little bit, because it's still in pre-beta and stuff. But it's basically like FX in real time, and it's just such a game changer. Because I mean, Bernard knows this as well. If you work on a smoke simulation and you wanna result quickly and you have to wait 25 minutes and you then see that it's completely, you have to, it just drags out the timeline of work so much. And if you have like interactive feedback where you can like pull the stuff around and it moves, so Hirsi will actually be in their customer reel for the 1.0 version, which is really cool. But so that is a lot of this episode is powered by this amazing software. Yeah.
Awesome. And Gilly had a question that kind of aligns with one of the ones that I wanted to ask you guys, but are there particular moments or action shots or scenes from other media that inspired particular shots, either in this episode or previous ones, you know, either staging or particular action sequence, anything that kind of stands out as inspiration here?
Definitely. I mean, Charlie, I think you drew a lot of inspiration from.
As I told you in one of our previous talkings in the past, Travis, mostly in taking those ideas from specific mecha anime, which are all related to BattleTech and mecha, like Fang of the Sun, Dorvac. I believe there was also recently a manga, which you all also covered in one of your videos in the past. And there was a specific scene where the Shadowhawk mech, Dorvac, is running on and attacking with a skirmish maneuver enemies in the desert, and the whole thing we saw in our video inspired me a bit for this moment a bit. So I put it on the script and hoped the best that the team could translate it to pictures, and it was really the best moment in my life, you could say. And the drop down of a Thunderbolt, I would say, bit maybe Pacific Rim was inspiring moments there. Mostly Pacific Rim, this shot when the Jaeger mech is dropping on the beach.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, I know when in our episode with Sam, when we did our watch party, Sam was saying how that Pacific Rim was the closest that he's seen kind of mech movement in the mainstream media. So that's cool. And it's kind of creepy sometimes how you kind of mention something or type something in a search engine and all of a sudden it starts getting recommended everywhere. But I must have recommended Pacific Rim something like 2 weeks ago, because that my thing just started getting flooded with all the Pacific Rim battles, and I was very happy to oblige with lots of clicks. But it's good stuff.
But to his specific question, like that opening shot was definitely inspired by the MW4 intro. I just really liked the dynamic between like 12-meter tall walking tanks and trees, because it really puts them into perspective. Like if you go to the forest and you look up into the trees, and you would imagine that there's like a thing like actually going until it reaches the leaves. It's crazy to think about. So. That's what we try to capture with that. Like, scale is always the biggest issue that you have with this stuff.
Yeah, I know. I talk about that a lot with the commissions I do through Gallery 3025. Mm. Just like, get the scale right. And I have a list of the actual heights of all the mechs, and I send it to them if we're doing a particular mech. But there's definitely some liberal use of scale in some old BattleTech art, but I always think it's more impactful when they get the scale right. You better get it. Mm. I find myself like driving down the highway, and I'm like, is that street sign, that interstate sign, I think that's about as high as a mech. And I'm trying to kind of give myself perspective of exactly how big, because I think I want to imagine it's bigger, but then you kind of get closer and you're like, okay, I get an idea.
But that's something you have with military vehicles in general. Like if you look at pictures, like from a tank or like an APC, like an actual real APC, we look at the German stuff, you guys look at the Abrams tanks and the Bradleys and stuff, and then you are actually standing next to one and you are used to like human cars, and you realize that these things are basically like double the size. That's crazy.
I saw a fascinating post on Reddit. I actually saved it. I want to reach out to whoever the author was, where he broke down the biomechanics of walking, how fast a mech could actually walk. And I love this. I've had conversation with Bruins about this and kind of his motion, and I've tried to think about what a fire moth would actually look like sprinting, what a human form would look like sprinting at 200 something kilometers per hour. But I haven't read through the post. I made it like a third of the way, but it was a fascinating one, and I'll share it in the community link for the YouTube channel in the next day or so, if people want to kind of get in on that. But it was basically, it looked into the biomechanics of, where a human goes from walking to running, like at what speed it basically becomes awkward to be walking, where you kind of shift into a slow jog, and then extrapolated that into the size of a mech and then bipedal mechs. It was really, it really looked fascinating, and, was something that, whoever in charge of the animation there can think about. But I think a big thing was a lot of those early early guys, Jordan and Ross and stuff, that created BattleTech, were just kind of throwing out numbers and not really thinking about that. Can something really walk 240 meters in 10 seconds? If it's a locust, probably not. And so what does that kind of actually look like? And I feel like certainly you guys have plenty of experience now, having gone through this animation, of trying to translate these things into a visual medium and what they actually look like. And Bruins has done it a lot too, and we've had conversations about kind of exactly how fast can a mech move. That's a challenge I feel like has yet to be fully pushed and explored visually.
You can see that actually in the episode, Bernard, I was about to mention you, when the Thunderbolt transfers from walking into sprinting out of the hangar, the trebuchet, sorry.
Yeah. Now, what I wanted to add is, we are not used to see like 12-meter tall mechs, and we have no reference of what that should or actually would look like. So probably we can get away with a lot, and it's a lot is left to the imagination, I guess. Regarding BattleTech, they basically wanted to make a game work, a tabletop game, right? So a lot of the mechanics and numbers are probably to make it a fun game to play. And then came the novels and all the rest. So we still have to deal that with that now, like, what is it, 40 years or even more after it was conceived?
40, yeah, almost 40. Oh my gosh, it has been almost 40. Because what, it was 80, was it 83? Late in 83? Look at that, time flies. What year did you guys find BattleTech? I think it was 91 for me. That I was first introduced.
It was a little bit before I was born.
Shut up, you jerk.
For me, it was MechWarrior 2.
Ah, that's
I was just attracted by the cover. I didn't know anything about BattleTech at that time, and even back then, I was starting to do CGI. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to do an animation, and I thought, well, I don't know anything about that universe. I cannot just make things up. And that's when I started to read novels and got hooked. Yeah,
yeah, mine was MechWarrior 2 as well. My cousin introduced me to it. What was cool about that was it was like one of the first games that I had that had the music on CD that you could actually play off the CD mm-hmm. separate from yeah. the game. So I just listened to it all the time. So that's like, when you think of gaming music, that was like my first, you know, that's where all my nostalgia comes from, right? So.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
You just had to skip track one, right?
Yeah. Or it's like dial-up noise, yeah.
No, it was just an annoying, I don't know, sound.
Yeah, the soundtrack that I put on the Hell Memory Core channel was my original MechWarrior 2 CD from 1994 or whatnot, just ripped into high quality audio format. But it was good times back then.
I'm actually seeing a few more comments about like the walking and the dynamic stuff. And I mean, I can tell you guys that we've spent a lot of time reiterating walk cycles, and like the first walk cycles that we did basically, I think went to 35 revisions or something. Mm-hmm. Because like, if you think about like the US Army going out tomorrow and building an actual mech, it would actually be pretty boring, I think. It would just walk and it would not move at all, because actually you want like this stuff to be super stabilized. You don't want this shaking around and all this stuff, but it looks super boring. And so we wanted to not have it look like Gundam Japanese anime style, but also not like robotic, I can't move my arms stuff. Like it's a little bit in between a human walk cycle and like a robotic walk cycle, which makes it really interesting to look at.
Definitely. Yeah, I've talked about this before on streams, but I think that I think MechWarrior Online has had a kind of a disproportionate influence on how people visualize the mechs, you know, because I mean those mechs have been, they have to be in a video game and they have to move with whatever video mechanics. But, you know, in the BattleTech lore, they're definitely far more mobile and agile than what can be portrayed in kind of a, you know, a gaming software. You know, certainly not to the Robotech mecha type of degree of mobility. So it's a fun kind of to explore that area of where, just how much can the mech do? How much can that Mimer and endoskeleton or endoskeel do to mimic a human motion? But sure you guys have plenty of work trying to find that balance yourselves within the constraints of the technology available.
And the neuro helmets as well. So just like pushing a throttle and it moves mm-hmm. forward, but neuro helmet and balance. And for this episode, I also was aiming to make them a little bit more dynamic in movement.
Yeah.
Especially the Shadowhawk starting to sprint towards the Thunderbolt and taking the jump right before him. I wanted to go a little bit more into, or get away from robotic movement or just boring walk cycles and more into dynamic action. I hope I could achieve that in some way.
You did. I just want to quickly go through some more questions from the chat, because people, like, we are not missing your questions. It's just a little bit a lot to handle right now at the same time. So we had the green screen stuff, we had the difficult stuff, we had how, like, was the reason you tastefully pulled away from the infantry then as they were mowed down by the Hunchback? Don't want to be too graphic. Yeah, there were some discussions about that, like the storyboard actually called for them to get blasted away, like by this, I don't know, what is it, 12.6 millimeter machine gun. You can basically imagine how that would look. But one, the graphic thing, like YouTube is getting more and more stricter with age stuff. We don't want to get into that trap. And also, like, it might sound a bit weird, but displaying a human body getting torn apart is really hard to do in 3D. So we wanted to avoid that as well. So we decided to just leave it to your guys' imagination.
Shoot, with the stuff they put on TV these days, there's no imagination. I'm just watching an episode of The Boys and you can see how a human body blows up. It's kind of insane. True. I think it's too far myself. But
I mean, they have like a $15 million budget per episode. So it's a bit more than we have.
I think it's better when you don't show everything. You know, your imagination is affected in that regard. But Sven had another question. When you started the project, did you have any particular shots in the story, kind of in your mind that you were hoping to visualize at some point along the way?
So, I mean, talking all the time, but
only through episode 3, we don't want to spoil anything. Upcoming moments, we don't want to spoil.
We have shots that we had in mind that we liked to do, or that we like to do, and we kind of try to build them into the script. Like, you don't want to get to a point where you build the script around like a cool idea, but you have some stuff that you want to have in there. For this one, it was one of them was definitely the tank stomp thing. Like, we always wanted to see like a mech stepping on a vehicle, because that's what you do in the games a lot as well. Yeah. I think in reality it would look a lot less impressive than it does in the games. Like, you cannot compress armored steel that much. So I think we found a nice balance there. But what about the rest of you guys? Did you have anything that you wanted to have in there?
I just went with what was thrown at me, so, and made it. Try to make it as look as cool as possible.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of the creative stuff is defined in the storyboard and really comes from Constantine's mastermind. Like, he can actually draw, and he can actually like put action into like drawings like a comic, and it really helps us set up these shots with more dynamic. I mean, people have been mentioning that this episode feels more dynamic. I think that is definitely in part because of Constantine's drawings in the storyboard that just have so much movement in them that we are forced to introduce more movement into our 3D scenes as well.
Have you guys seen the behind the scenes for Mad Max Fury Road, and how there was never a script, I believe, for that movie, how it was 100% storyboard? It's fascinating.
That's crazy. If they ever did a live action movie and somehow had a say, I would have it shot from an infantryman's perspective rather than focus being on the mechs and the megawars. Yeah, exactly. I mean, we have kind of a rule of the thumb in production that when we do external cameras, we want to have them usually limited to what a human person could be. So we basically imagine like a cameraman actually running around the battlefield, because like if you think about how a movie looks, like we are all used, for example, to these black bars on the movie, and if you add them to any video, it immediately looks a lot more like a movie. So this spawned the weird trend a few years back when every professional filmmaker put these black bars on their videos to make it look more cinematic. But that's like, you want to do widescreen or you want to do 16x9. But so a lot of this stuff is trained to us from a very young age when we start watching films. We are used to the camera movements. We are used to the camera movements that the equipment from the camera crews actually produces. So a usual camera crew has like a crane that can move like this. They have a dolly that they can push around, maybe on a rail, and then they have the shoulder mounted stuff. So when you reproduce that in 3D animation, it immediately looks a lot more like a movie because it replicates what you are used to be seeing from the cinema. And like a big issue that you have when you get into trying to make stuff look photorealistic in 3D is it all looks super floaty and super weird, and it looks like a dream because you don't have these inaccuracies that you have in real life when the cameraman has to walk and shake and maybe has like stuff at the edge of the image because the lens is actually like curved and stuff. So we have to replicate a lot of this to get it looking more realistic. So yeah, that's definitely something we're trying to do.
It's a fascinating idea that you got to make it look a little worse to make it look real.
Yeah, I mean, currently there's this trend on YouTube with like this backrooms stuff. Don't know if you've heard of it, like this the stuff where you get into like this never-ending office space, and it's like a horror meta thing spawned from some internet trend. And these guys basically push that to the max. They make it look like somebody had recorded it with a cheap VHS camera, like from the 90s. So they overlay all of these like magnetic tape damage and stuff that makes it look more realistic. And if you pause it and you look at the actual scene, it's like a lot less detailed than what you think it would be because your brain adds so much to it.
Yeah. VHS cameras, wasn't that before your time, Constantine?
I mean,
did you get a little bit of that?
on watching VHS tapes as well. So.
Oh, man.
Somebody was asking about the Hunchback design. You know, if you guys know what variant that is or where it's where that specifically came from.
Charlie, you want to do that?
Or
Bernard?
Please come again first. I couldn't understand you clearly right now because I was coughing.
Somebody was asking about the Hunchback design. You know, where you guys kind of pulled that, the source of it, and you know, if there's a specific variance that you guys can share for each of the next that are featured in the episode.
Okay, the Hunchback design is mostly built on the 4G design, let's say a bit on the beginning of Hard Steel. It comes from the episode zero, the pilot episode, where we didn't have any story in mind, and we were just mocking up those mechs by the rule of cool, and thought about it, how we can put a Hunchback together to make it look awesome. So like the typical brawler mech with distinctively armor on it. And I believe, Constantine, you were kind of in love with a typical Russian tank design with the arrow.
This comes from a time where the world was a little bit different. I have to say that before we get into
sorry about that. No politicians are on the stream, but mostly for modern tank designs. And I've put some weapon systems or wishes on the list, and happily Constantine applied them on it. And some of them we showed in the past episode, the Chav launcher with an awesome shot. Where the Chav ammunition is launched into the air and blew away also by the AC-10 shot. And now the machine guns, and maybe later more. We will see. But yeah, my mouth is sipped on this part. So
the idea was basically like these are like a band of mercenaries. They have a little bit more freedom in their mech loadout, and each pilot basically has customized their vehicle to their liking and to their battle style. And our Hunchback pilot is kind of a how do you call it in English? Like, she likes to run in and like brawl, so she has these claws on the hands of her mech. She has this countermeasure stuff that makes her basically for a few times, invincible from like streak ammunition, and most importantly, she has this reactive armor all over her mech that makes her maybe tank away a few shaped charges and ballistic projectiles before it actually gets through the real armor.
I believe the correct wording for that would be in German Draufgänger, in English it would be Daredevil.
Yeah, Daredevil, okay.
So, or maybe something between Daredevil and her. If we are translating it to gaming style, it would be like going full Dreadnought or full Juggernaut style.
Laydata style.
We call that the Leroy
Berserker style.
There you go.
So we have a question for Patrick. How much did it run? Yeah, to invest in a mocap system. Are they pricey, Patrick?
I had beta to a new product. I don't know if I can mention company names, but it's Move AI. I think they just opened up kind of a more consumer version, which you can use like for iPhones, like old iPhones. And I think their pricing is $300 and something per year. So iPhones plus that, and you've got some pretty okay mocap. Mm-hmm. The setup that I have is 8 GoPros with the stands and, you know, some gear so I can pack it all in. And then rental space, which now I got for free. So it's like whatever. It's definitely way cheaper than those other systems, yeah, which can get up to 50K, or even the suits are about 3K. But yeah, so it's not too bad. I mean, for the quality of output from this new system, mm-hmm, it's very comparable. Like, yeah, it's going to be a game changer in a yeah sense. Yeah. And it's going to be very exciting to try it out more. Definitely.
And that was certainly a point which sped up the production for the character shots.
Yeah.
And made it more realistic. We haven't had that many in this episode, and they were mostly from further apart where you can't catch all the details and facial animation. But I think it took me like an evening per character to get the motion capture data into the final shot. So that wouldn't be possible doing it all by hand.
An important thing to note to mention here, if you've dabbled into that technology a little bit, like this is artificially intelligent assisted motion capture. So it's not like the usual stuff where you have people like in James Cameron movies, like run around with all of these dots. And then you have to have a team of animators like crunch through the data and replace half of it. It's actually like video input fed into an artificial intelligence, and then you get a 3D data that you can read out. And the more perspectives that you provide, that's why he had 8 GoPros, the better the system can solve your input. Mm. But there are systems now out there that work with one single camera input. So you just make a video of yourself running and jumping, feed it into it, and then you get a result. It's not going to be great yet, but I mean, we can all see the speed at which AI is improving right now. So that's going to be huge.
Yeah, it's all like pose estimation that it does and then combines all that data. What I found with this one compared to other systems is like you can know when it's kind of a cheap solution when you see their feet move and slip around on the ground. That's when you know the accuracy is like sketchy. I actually have a sensor suit, and there was just way too much cleanup. It almost defeated the purpose of even having the suit because there was just so much cleanup to do. So I left it for like a couple of years because I saw that there's this progression in AI. And then once that started coming around, I begged these people to give me the beta. And yeah, it's way better, like a lot less cleanup. It's amazing.
Awesome.
Yeah. Did you change the voice processing? Had the feeling some of the characters' voices sound different, more distorted compared to the previous episode? Don't think so.
We just had a different processing routine for the pirate radio voices.
Yeah.
Like to make it less they don't have that well-maintained equipment. It's just they have crappy radio transmission, and the Equus Lens does not have crappy radio. think that was our.
Considering releasing the storyboard as a comic, yeah, definitely we'll do that soon on Patreon. We have to kind of plan out the content releases now to not put too much out there, because we have some time to bridge now onto the next one. So we'll see when we do that, but we'll definitely want to do that. So you maybe want to check out the Patreon. Last question would be, did you guys even create so not last question for me, but he said that. Did you guys even create a countdown timer? No, that was from YouTube. But you can, if you create a premiere, you can choose which one you want to have. And like this one's the only one that remotely the fits sci-fi the project. One. The sci-fi one, yeah. And I mean, it's really well done. At times it looks better than the project itself, but I mean, it creates the hype. Did you create the intro sequence? Yes, we did that. As a normal part, it's called scene one in the project. How long did that take? Way too long. I spent way too much time on that sequence creating like a fully fledged internal launcher system with like millions of polygons of detail, and then with two light sources you see like 10% of it. So that's a big problem that I always have. All in all, probably a few weeks.
That's prime Patreon content. You just add some light sources and throw it up so you can show off your work and show off all the stuff you did.
I mean, we have to do a better job at marketing and like that stuff, but there's no reason why we couldn't just release all of the stuff that we are doing to our most loyal supporters, because I have to like really, really shout them out now. Like this project literally wouldn't be possible, because I mean, now we are getting into the territory where we have to actually pay for stuff. For licensing and for electricity costs alone, like electricity costs in Germany because of the stupid events have basically doubled. And we put a lot of electricity into these shots. Like the modern GPUs are basically space heaters, and Bernard and I over the past months of rendering have probably spent many hundreds of kilowatts. And then it's all the hardware stuff. So without these people, like this project that like literally wouldn't be possible. So huge shout out to every patron.
Definitely. True. Yeah, we've been dealing with energy issues at my house because I got the bright idea that I'll just heat the rooms that I'm in and I don't have to worry about the rest of the house. And we got some space heaters. Yeah, that was a bad idea. Apparently space heaters aren't, our electric bill is 5 times of what our neighbors were. And I'm like, no. I'm not even growing pot in here. It's not even worth it. All I'm doing is keeping my office warm.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine. You know.
Do you know how many cents per kilowatt you pay?
It was 40, but we found a way to get it down to 19 cents. What do you guys pay over there?
Yeah. I'm at 45 now.
Yeah. 45 euros there's... too? That's 45 euros.
45 euro cent, yeah. Per kilowatt time.
And there's rumors that it will double in April.
That's
horrible. That's crazy.
Should probably set up a server in Canada. We have cheaper electricity.
Yeah, I mean, we can do that, yeah.
We're 7 cents per kilowatt.
Oh, what?
Jesus. Now you're just bragging.
That's what happens when you shut down all your coal.
I mean, that's like the gas prices that you guys have. Like, I don't want to talk about filling up my car. But yeah. Do we have any more questions from the chat? I don't see any that we haven't answered yet.
Yeah, I think we've hit them all. If you guys have any more last minute, let us know.
So nobody replied in Discord. So no questions there. Can try to look through 5 million YouTube comments.
Patrick, do you have the link for the soundtrack? Is that anywhere that we can put in the chat so people could find it?
Yeah, I can post it. Awesome. I will do that shortly.
Okay.
He's tried to do that on the YouTube video itself, but that's not.
I
the
keep
third
getting
time.
Blocked for some reason. I don't know why. Exactly. It's very like if you post links, it's very spammy. If you're trying to redirect someone away from, you know, someone's YouTube video, so I keep getting blocked.
Yeah. But I mean, you can basically, if you just go to Spotify and search for Hired Steel, you're going to find it. And you especially, I want to shout that out as well, Patrick, the battle mix, like maybe you want to explain what that is.
Oh, yeah, there's a commenter that was just like, hey, can we get a mix of this? That is just like the beats, you know, the heavy beats part. And I was like, yeah, sure, why not? So I just made a, there's the normal mix for the episode. And then I just do a battle mix, which is more beat oriented.
Okay.
I think the recent one is probably the most beat oriented heavy one that I like. So yeah, check out the battle mixes as well.
Looks like, Sneaky Gilly had a question about battle armor, but the guys had mentioned earlier that it was 3041, so there wouldn't be any battle armor.
Yeah, I mean, I can say about the choice of the timeline. While we didn't put that much thought into preparing like a whole multi-year project back then, we put enough thought of it into to not get into all the clan stuff, because while I really love the lore and I really love the books and I really love the games and I love everything about it, but trying to dig through that stuff as a content creator and trying to make stuff that is in line with these millions of, it's like basically like, oh, you want to go into Warhammer and you want to write a book about the Horus Heresy. Like it's, you have to do a PhD before you do that. So we have decided on telling a story before the clans have entered the inner sphere.
Cool. All right, folks. Well, I think we wrapped up. If before we go, let's definitely make sure everyone gets a shout out to their socials and where we can kind of follow your work. Constantin, we have yours on Twitter and Facebook. So I'll let you kind of confirm where your location is on each of those socials. Constantin, where can people find you on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook?
Yeah, so do you want links? Because a little bit, I mean,
I'll shout it out in case we do this audio as well.
Okay, so like the TMC has an account on Facebook. It's called tmc.de. You can find us there. You can find us on Twitter. We are called Top Game C there, but we also have a Hired Steel Twitter account, and I make sure to basically retweet everything with each of these so you're not missing anything. Then there's my personal one where I post like everything else. It's a C4K96, but you can also find that on the Hired Steel and TMC. So it's basically all linked, so you don't have to go looking for it. Most important one is you find us on YouTube with the new alias system from YouTube. I think our channel is called @TMC_. So TMC was already occupied by some Indian news channel, but we got TMC_. So that's us. Then on Patreon, it's also TMCDE. And like I said, if you find us on one of these socials, you can find us basically everywhere because it's all cross-linked.
What's TMC stand for?
That's a relic from 10 years ago. It's we were used to be called the Tamar Media Company because we were part of like the Tamar Jägers, this game unit. Then we split from them because we got more and more stuff from outside. Then we had to keep the abbreviation, so we just went with Top Game Media Crew, and then we realized that sounds a little bit dumb, so we just go by TMC now.
There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was when I was posting, I was like, you know, I'm hosting with the TMC crew, and I was like, am I saying I'm hosting the TMC crew or the TM crew crew? I was like, oh,
it's a little bit, it's a bit weird. I mean, it's like one of these things from like 10 years ago where you're like how did you create your video game alias? Like probably a little bit awkward.
I just use what they gave me. Work turnip 13 or 11, I think is mine. Whatever weird thing. I'm too lazy to change it. Excellent. Thanks again, everyone. We'll throw links down in the description. You know, and so if you're watching and you know you didn't catch that, hear it, then go below. I'll have it in the link of my video, and the guys will certainly have it in the link for the episode itself. But
if there's any more questions, just hop into the comments. Like, now we get this immediate storm of like 500 comments, but I really mean it when I say I read every single one of them, and the team as well. So awesome.
Well, thanks guys, thanks for a year's worth of work. You know, I'm looking forward to it. Thanks in advance for all the work that you're going to put into the next one. But we appreciate it in the community, and you know, your passion is definitely shows in your work. So
thank you.
Enjoy the night. It's late.